Yeah, whoever made people is really mean for they made the area that men want to stick in the women's faces so much the most unattractive thing in the world.
Oh, mine's beautiful.
No.
I'll show you.
I've seen it.
We've already seen it.
I'm sure it's beautiful to you.
Oh,
Many
no.
times.
I'm told it's lovely. I gotten many a drunk text about said penis.
Your mom saying, "Oh, I remember you. That's the most pretty penis."
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a picture of it on her
I
refrigerator.
used to not put the diaper on you just to walk around all
Yep.
the neighbors and be like, "Look at that beautiful
Oh, my
penis."
dad took me around too. Show everybody.
Yeah.
He liked to change the diapers just so he could marvel at it.
Yeah.
You were on
He's
like the
like
big wheel.
you know where he got that from, right?
Yep.
Genetics.
I just winked. Wink
Yeah.
and a smile.
Would you wear a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, nothing else, and ride your big wheel around the city?
I could do that. I need
Today.
spurs. I need spurs.
Spurs.
I want to jingle and jangle all the way around the
Jingle
city.
jangle. That's how I picture
it. I love you guys.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome to episode 166 of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me as always is Amanda, David, and Randy. How the hell are you three doing today?
Good.
Oh my god, you came at me so fast I can't remember my smart-ass comment, but I'm great.
Fantastic. I'm wonderful.
I like it. I like it. I'm fantastic too, and you know why?
Why?
Because Team NinjaBot is on the show today.
Yay!
Oh, shit.
So it'll be a good show then.
Yeah. We got Arnell and Steph joining us, and you two just happen to be crazy cat lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you love cats so much that you draw them in little costumes, and you adopt them, and you dress them up in real life, and
I know
all kinds of crazy. Let's talk about what it is that is Pop Cats Volume 1. What are you guys doing?
So Pop Cats Volume 1 is going to be a 7x7 art book with watercolor cat illustrations, and the cats are dressed up as like various pop culture characters or icons,
Ooh.
I would say.
Yeah, it's from anything to like directors to musicians, actors.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Do you have like a super white one that's David Bowie?
We just did that one. Did you see that on Instagram?
No. Did you really do a David Bowie one?
I literally did it.
Oh.
We did. It's a Kitty Stardust. You should check it out.
That is awesome.
He turned out pretty good. He's probably one of my favorite ones currently.
That is sweet.
I've done a bunch of them, and he's probably one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. Right now he's working on a Slash Kitty, which
yeah,
is
I'm doing,
super cute.
I'm doing Slash as a cat.
Nice.
Like the guitar from, GNR.
Yeah. Is he going to have, like, the crazy top hat and...
Yeah, he is.
An open, bare chest? Is he going to have a shaved chest? That'd be pretty sweet.
He is. He's going to have his trademark leather vest with the...
That's awesome.
With the airman, the chrome sunglasses.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tiny little nose piercing. It's
yeah.
So cute.
I like it.
I tried to do them as detailed as I can,
There's a
but,
Skeletor one on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Gotta get on that, Justin.
He was fun
Skeletor.
To do.
Is this Geppetto that I'm looking at? Who's the guy with the apron?
That's a Miyazaki.
Oh, from like the anime stuff?
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah.
I thought it was Geppetto. I'm like, do people really care about the guy that made Pinocchio? I'm like, where have I been? I totally thought that was Geppetto. That's funny shit.
I thought it was George Lucas if he was a serial killer and didn't want to get blood on him.
I really was wondering if I should do, because I wanted to do Spielberg, at least Spielberg.
Sure.
I was wondering if I should do George Lucas too.
Like it. So we have, for those of you that visit geeklegacy.com on a regular basis, you will know that there's always a NinjaBot banner at the top of our page, and now that banner will take you straight to the PopCats Kickstarter page.
Yay.
Thanks to Amanda, because I can't do anything that is website related.
Thanks, Amanda.
You're welcome.
You're the best.
So let's go over some of these cool pledges. My favorite has to be Adopt a Cat. That's $100.
Thanks.
I think this is super cool where you get this awesome package with with a 5x7 frame, right? Is that what it is? 5x7 frame of a cat of your choice from the book, along with two little yarn balls, because cats love yarn, right?
Yep.
And you even get little candid photos of them on their adventures.
Yeah, so I made like little kind of cat Instagram sort of thing. So you'll have little pictures of their little adventures with their friends, and you'll see who people who commented and what they posted online.
That's so awesome. I love this.
Thank you.
And then the early bird, which was a pretty sweet deal, is already sold out. But yes. That was just $25 for the book, the 7x7 book.
Yeah, the book and then some prints. And now that one is just $35 now. It's right. $25.
Good deal, good deal. I like it. Now there's another one where you get to, if you pledge $250, then you can have your own cat dressed up and drawn in a character.
Part of the book, too. They'll become part of the book.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so you basically get the same kit as people who adopt the cats from the book.
Uh-huh.
But this one, you're actually your own cat. So we'll talk with the person, the people who pledged, really. Like, we'll talk with them at the end and ask them, what kind of character would they want. Like, if they want, I don't know, a little Joker or, Superman or whatever. Like, their kitty be in the book.
Right.
It'd be super cute.
Yeah, I'd want, a Batman Beyond. That's my favorite Batman.
Ooh, that's a good call.
That's a good one.
You can have that if you want.
I don't know. I've got two black cats.
I know.
I might have to do that.
That's pretty awesome.
Now, when did you guys first start doing the Pop Cats? I seem to remember seeing you guys doing some around the time of San Diego this year.
Yeah, it was right before, maybe a month before.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And the reason the way it started is because we started doing those cats because of another project that we were working on.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden changed our minds for the time being and then went into Pop Cats. Because we did those, Arnold did those as commissions for San Diego, which they were thankfully super and surprisingly successful. Because he has so many commissions, he didn't even have time to finish them in time for San Diego Comic Con. He still did commissions a month after.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Because of all the requests, so that was kind of cool.
It all started because of that other project we were working on, which was a kids book, and I think we had just finished watching. We just came back from the theater to watch Mad Max,
mm-hmm.
And I just started scribbling one of those cats I was drawing, but I decided to do a Furiosa cat, and I was like, "Oh, this is fun!" I had a lot of fun just doing it. And I was wondering what else I could do in this, in this kind of...
Who else could I turn into a cat?
Yeah, what else could I turn into a cat?
Turns out pretty much everybody.
Everyone.
A lot of things. Yeah.
That Skeletor is pretty badass. I finally got around to looking at it, Dave. I like all your guys' stuff. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to the Future, Randy. Did you see that with Marty on his little hoverboard?
I did, yes.
The little hoverboard's so cute.
That was fun. That was fun to do.
Man. Yeah,
they're so tiny and cute. When you see them in person, it's just, I love them.
Yeah.
They're super fun.
It's funny you mentioned the whole commission thing, because and now every time I see you at Emerald City Comic Con and then again at San Diego, Arnell, you've just been busy chiseling away the little pen and paper. I don't even get to talk to you anymore because you're always working.
Yeah, ever since we started doing the commissions, I've been surprised at the reception, at me doing commissions. They're really fun to do, and they make the shows fly by.
Unfortunately,
though, it does take away from me, socializing with people sometimes.
And helping me.
I think he just sees you coming from, a mile away, Justin. He's like, oh, crap, gotta get busy.
Probably. He's like, shit. I'm like, hey, Arnell!
Busy.
Drawing.
Got any coke?
Hey, you!
That's a nod to one of Dave and Randy's friends. They like the cocaine.
But, who doesn't?
Right, everybody. I'm going to do a line of coke off of one of your cats.
Do it.
The cat drawings.
Let's make
you get
it
the
fun.
David Bowie cat and just do some rails off it.
Yeah. Now is this one cat? Is it Agent Carter or Carmen Sandiego?
Agent Carter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carmen Sandiego would have a bigger hat.
Oh, maybe a red coat too, huh?
She had a red coat too. She's all with like a yellow scarf or something like that.
She's a dirty thief, you know.
She is. She's a trickster.
They catch her, they gotta chop her hands off so she can't steal any more shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Peggy like the Cat. Furioso Peggy Cat.
That's the after picture. Furiosa is really Carmen San Diego in like an Arab country.
Yeah. They shave her and they chop her hand off.
That's fucked terrible. Up.
They gave her to a Morton Joe.
Yeah. Oh. There you go. There's your prize.
It just took that someplace dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he do?
Post apocalyptic, Randy. There is no light. There is no Dana, only Zool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is there a Ghostbusters one yet? With all a bunch of cats?
Not yet. I do want to do Peter Venkman again because I did him as a San Diego Comic Con commission, and he was really fun to do. Mm-hmm. So I might do a Venkman and an Egon because Egon would be awesome.
I know, he's so cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I had a trick or treater this weekend come as Louis Tully, Rick Moranis' character. I gave him two handfuls of candy and
that's
told him how
so
much
specific.
I loved it.
How did he do it? Like with the plaid shirt and everything?
Yeah, he was just all like nerdy, and he had like a little like Slimer like guy like hovering like on like a pole behind him, and that's the only way I could know. Otherwise, he was just like a generic nerd, but
yeah,
he had a little Slimer behind him.
How old
did he?
Like, around what age was the kid?
Oh, he was like 7.
Wow.
Did he have that like colander helmet thing on or anything?
No, he wasn't. He was definitely Louis Tully, accountant. He wasn't the gatekeeper.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Wow, that's even better. That's more distinct.
So obscure. I love it.
I also got a John Hammond for Christmas. I was so excited. I was like geeking out over these costumes. Like it wasn't all like Elsa's and Kylo Ren's. There was some awesome costumes. But I'm sorry, I distracted.
Oh, we didn't have any treaters.
Yeah, it was raining like crazy over here. So, I felt bad for the kids. The kids who braved the rain, though.
Yeah. Stupid troopers. Pacific Northwest, always raining.
Yeah, you guys got to come down south.
The worst.
See, it rained. It sprinkled here today. Thought the world was going to end. It rains down here, and everyone just freaks out. Like, oh my God, is this El Nino? Is it here already?
That's so funny.
Storm watch.
Oh my God.
It's still 80 degrees, though.
Yeah, it's still like 75 degrees. But
that's
like,
so funny.
Like, yeah, a friend posted a picture or screenshot of his phone showing the traffic on Google Maps, and it was just red everywhere.
It's the worst. Ooh. Like they
just because of a little bit of rain.
Right.
The delay, yeah.
Like seriously, like you guys would laugh at how little it is where you guys live. It's
now, yeah.
Like yeah, you almost don't need to turn on your windshield wipers. It's like your windshield wipers almost make it worse.
Right. I hate that.
That's so funny. Yeah, Steph showed me a video yesterday of people on the Portland light rail, and the light rail was flooded, and they just kept going, just hanging out.
Yeah,
like it's just rain?
Yeah, it was like...
It was like 5 inches of water inside the train.
Yeah, like on the train, yeah.
But you don't want to be wusses like those Los Angelinos.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho... what do we got? We got 10 days to go. You have just under $3,500 to remaining. So by the time this gets posted, you'll be at 9 days, and hopefully you've already made it.
That'd be nice.
Almost there. We're almost there.
We'll see.
Yeah, it looks like we made it.
Throw in a Batman Beyond, and I'll throw you $100.
Done.
I'll adopt Batman Beyond.
Batman Beyond, okay. Got it.
See, that's the way you get results. Everyone else, throw in your requests. Give them $100 and we'll make it.
Yeah, sounds good.
We'll call him Terry Meow Guinness.
There you go. Perfect. So that's another thing. Everyone has a cute name.
Yeah.
It's all cat puns.
That's almost the hardest part.
I bet.
The cat to do because you're like, oh, man.
I want to see Jack Purton.
Oh, yeah. I did one of him.
Oh, that's a cool one.
Wait, I did one for Comic Con, and he was hilarious.
He was awesome.
I'll post up the new one in a couple of days.
Yeah, he's gonna be in the book too.
Jack Purton is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah,
what's the Skeletor pun?
He was hard. We just called him Skelecat.
Yeah,
just
Skelecat.
It's just hard to do.
seems like a bit of a cop out.
If you can think of something,
come on, you guys.
I just wanted an excuse to draw Skeletor as a cat.
Sure.
Yeah, but if you come up with names, let us know. We'll totally take them.
Yeah, we'll totally take some.
Did you see this Rocketeer one, Randy?
No, I saw it listed, but I didn't see an actual photo of it.
Oh. We haven't like finished that one yet.
Oh my god, you guys are so slow.
I know. It's 50
definitely
keys, and it's only him.
Definitely piqued my interest, though.
Oh yeah, he's happening. He's probably gonna be one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Rocketeer fan, so.
Oh man, you and Randy can go and make sweet love to each other.
How does it fly around without singeing its tail, though?
Doesn't matter.
You thought you've gone too far down the rabbit hole, Randy.
I'm emotionally invested.
An anthropomorphic cat with
now.
A with a
God,
jetpack.
You're still a nerd.
He's pissing in his pants. That's all.
Good yeah.
Oh, there we go. I like to take things out of my pants.
Yeah, you do.
That's just how I do. If I had a tail, I'd sport that shit all day long.
He doesn't have a tail, and he still does it all day long.
I know, I pretend. It's all good. Anywho. Well, awesome, guys. Best of luck. We will support you, as always. We like to have our name in print.
Thanks.
That's really why we do it. We just like our name in your book.
Just like the name in the book. Yeah, I mean, that is one of the perks of pledging. It's true. You have your name in the book.
We're like, keep your shit, just put the name in the book.
That's all we want.
We're anonymous. Good stuff. Well, awesome job. You guys are welcome back anytime. Of course, you know this. This is like the fifth time you've been on our show.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, fourth
has
been that many times already?
I think so.
Wow.
You guys keep making Kickstarters, and we got to have you on the show, and... Talk about the Hawk
more
of Dead.
Importantly,
that's really why we make Kickstarters. Stuff. Like, we just make Kickstarters to be in the show.
Yeah,
we
just want to be on the Geek Legacy podcast.
It's all a ruse.
Yeah.
But we like your stuff, and I think the whole world does too. So remember to visit your awesome Kickstarter page and pledge.
Yes.
Generously.
Yes.
I love the kitties.
Well, cool. Well, thank you guys very much, and you enjoy the rest of
your
night.
Thanks, guys.
Sweet. Thank you so much for having me, guys. You guys are awesome.
You too.
All right. Worst box office of 2015. No weapons or mask at theaters for The Force Awakens. Star Wars novel postponed to avoid spoilers. X-Men reshoots with more Wolverine. Star Trek TV series. Preacher.
Woo!
What? Star Trek TV series?
Yeah.
Is it animated?
Nope.
Oh, one can only hope.
It's going to be... I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be a thing. It'll be a good thing.
We don't know anything about it, though?
Not really. No, no, they just announced that they're going to start thinking about doing it.
Oh.
But Alex Kurtzman is kind of in charge of it.
Oh, yeah? I think it would be cool if it took place in the same timeline as the new movies.
I think they said that it's not.
It's like, how did the Abrams movie screw Next Generation?
But oh. I'm not totally sure.
Picard has hair.
That's the butterfly effect. Is he has hair. That's the
Everything
only
else is exactly
shot for shot, word for word, all the scenes redone.
But all of a sudden, it's like, did they George Lucas the hair on Patrick Stewart?
That would be awesome. People would go batshit crazy.
Yeah. You would just watch it and be like, this is wrong.
But it should be like dumb hair, like Prince Valium from Spaceballs.
He should have Troy's hair.
He was in a production of Hedda Gabler where he had to wear a wig. And it was kind of weird looking.
I don't even know if I'd recognize him. It's just, like, it's not like he ever had hair that we saw. It's just,
that's true.
I would just, I'd be like.
Well, he lost it when he was, like, 19 or something. Yeah. He had some sort of, like, genetic thing that made his hair fall out when he was really young.
He needs a multivitamin.
It does.
It wasn't just, like, regular male pattern baldness.
Right.
Maybe he was just wound really tight. I know a guy that just stresses about everything. He was bald at 25. It's a shame.
Yeah, I know some people like that. Can't sweat the small stuff, guys.
No, you can't. You really can't. Only the big stuff.
Like, yeah, I didn't add on there the
Holocaust? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I didn't add the all-female remake of Van Helsing on our list.
Pass.
I figured that would be met with groans.
Who wants that?
No one. Is that Universal again?
No, it's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel, which is a subsidiary of Universal.
Yeah, see, Universal makes some weird decisions sometimes.
Yeah, and what a surprise. It comes off the week after Supergirl has huge ratings. They say, we need more women's shows now.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard about an all-female version of Ocean's 11?
Yeah, yes. With Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Want to talk about that?
Yeah, it makes me mad. But yeah, we can talk about it.
Did you post about that by chance?
I didn't. I shook my fist in anger at it.
Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, why can't it just be a heist film? Like, I'm all for, like, a Sandra Bullock-led, like, heist film. Like, why does it have to be Ocean's 11? I mean, not that it's, like, a hallowed property, but it seems like...
It's already been remade once.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock, you can't, obviously, your box office poison. Well, after this weekend, maybe. But, you know, we can't let you have your own franchise. It has to be an established brand already. Mm. We need you to rely on Clooney's clout.
Oh, I love the Ocean. Oh, I love the first one, and I enjoyed the third one.
Yeah, with Pacino.
Yeah. That I think it's good.
Yeah.
But
I watched the first one whenever it's on, whatever part it's on.
Whatever part you come in, yeah, I'm the same way. It's on HBO like 10,000 times a year.
Yeah. So
it's easy to watch, but
12's hard to watch.
12 is the worst.
12 is a little too...
I love it!
12? Are you serious? Oh my gosh.
It's so tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
More like and then
I'm on the Julia Roberts place, Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it. It's so meta, Dave.
Oh, it is so meta.
I love the meta-ness of it.
With Mr. Matt Damon, Project Greenlight himself.
Someone find me an article on this Ocean's 11.
The only thing you know is Sandra Bullock is going to leave. They don't have any other cast. They don't have a producer or director or anything.
I would like to see Sarah Michelle Gellar in it. And I would like to see Xena in it.
She's like a TV person. She can't do movies.
She's cool.
Sarah Michelle Gellar can't do movies.
Sure she can.
She was in the
The Grudge.
Scooby-Doo movies.
Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those cinematic classics. You're right. She should be in this movie.
The first Scooby-Doo.
What about Cruel Intentions?
Pretty good. Oh, yeah. Cruel Intentions. Yeah. Burn. Cox and Dicks.
In your mouth. Adam sucks cocks and dicks.
But yeah, okay, that's another thing to talk about.
Cool.
Did you guys hear anything about the potential ban on anything Slave Leia related?
Mm-mm.
From Disney? Yeah, they're apparently trying to more or less wipe that misogynist sexist outfit out of people's consciousness by no longer producing any more merchandise showing her or ever referring to her as Slave Leia.
Really?
Yeah, and to be fair, it refers back to in the original script, she was never referred to as, you know, wearing a slave outfit. They just said she was dressed as a dancing girl. And it wasn't until later on when people started...
Referring to it
just kind of... you know, in the terms of pop culture, because they just kind of called her Slave Girl Leia or Slave Leia, and it stuck. And then the first, I think, pizza merchandise that was actually marketed was back in 96 when Kenner put out the very first Slave Leia action figure. So I've only seen it referred...
It was called Slave Leia.
It was
on
called
the package.
Leia in slave outfit.
Oh.
Well, Disney should take this opportunity to sanitize history books and just, like... release a figure and, like, call it Dancing Leia or Dancing Girl Leia.
Yeah, I don't know.
They have the power. They're Disney.
But I've only read one article, so it could just be... I don't know. I don't think it's satire or anything. I think it's probably for real because it sounds like something Disney would do. I don't know if it's worth talking about because I've only seen it in one source, and I'm looking for it now. I just randomly went down the rabbit hole on Facebook earlier today and saw it. But I just wanted to see if you guys had heard of it yet because it seems... Mm-hmm. Seems like kind of a big deal. And I don't know if you guys remember, but I think part of it might stem from that one dumb fuck angry parent who saw it hanging on a shelf at a Target or a Walmart in some bumfuck Iowa or something like that. And it's like, why the hell are they selling, you know, like sex slave action figures to our children, you know?
Because kids like that stuff, Randy.
Yeah, they like to tie their figures up and like talk dirty to them and like put them. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about because you have some people that have a real problem with the outfit, and then you have beautiful women, or even, I mean, I don't, it's silly to objectify them, but you have some very, very attractive looking females rocking these outfits at conventions, and they're doing it on their own free will, like they think it's the most amazing thing ever, and they look so sexy.
Yeah, I mean,
empowering is the word.
Is that the word? Empowering?
She does strangle Jabba the Hutt, so, you know. It's not like she's, like, just, like, a useless dancer.
Well, yeah, like, she does use the chain that he was imprisoning her with to kill him.
Right, so it's okay.
It's like a metaphor for, like, slaves rise up.
Yes. Like that Pat Benatar video.
Exactly.
And this comes less than a month after the original prop slave bikini sold for $96,000 at auction.
Yeah. What?
Just so the guy could sniff it.
Actually, I would have thought it would go for more.
I would have thought so too, right? Because it's so iconic. All right, so I found the website that has the article, and it was just published today.
Is it imakeshitoponline.net?
No, it's listed as a rumor, but it's StarWarsUnderworld.com.
Who's reputable that? Site? Who's it?
Well, okay.
Really, so sounds like a Randy site.
Where I initially read it was
the seedy side of Star Wars.
MakingStarWars.net, which is where I go for all my Episode 7 spoilers.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, whatever. Honestly, like, I am the resident woman on this podcast.
Right. So, what is your thoughts?
And you know, you guys know me. I'm, like, ready and willing to throw down on feminist shit. But I don't really see a problem with this, unless you want to take an issue with the terminology of slave.
Right.
But I agree. I mean, I'm also not somebody who's like super crazy into Star Wars, so I'm not coming from that. From that point of view. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It is a very iconic part of Leia's, you know, whole deal, and I mean, if they want to distance themselves from it, that's like their prerogative, but I feel like that's kind of an overreaction.
Yeah, and as long as they don't edit it out of the movies, I don't care if they just don't want to like ever merchandise.
Oh yeah, if they were I'm never gonna without like, that scene, that would be ridiculous.
I'm not gonna buy the CG like clothing on her.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever gonna go quite that far. But, I could definitely see them not going forward with putting out any merchandise with her on it.
That's fine. So, would you ever buy a Slave Leia figure?
I have, like, 12 Slave Leia figures.
I was going to say, like, do you need another one?
They've made so many. So. Yeah, I don't need any more. Unless they ever, for some reason, make it, like, in the vintage style to look like it should have been produced in 1983 to go along with the rest of my vintage Star Wars collection, then, no, I really genuinely don't need any more, ever.
What's next?
I
mean, are they gonna change the name of Fett's ship from Slave 1 to something more PC? I hope not. I got a jersey that says Slave 1 on the back.
Yeah. Well, what would you call it?
He's instead of silly Slave without one? That.
Dominator 1.
Two.
Dog, well, the bounty hunter.
Slave. Yeah. Slave would be more like, submissive one.
Ooh, that's a shady ship, Randy.
Like 50 Shades of Grey there.
Yeah, that sounds like some sort of like S&M.
Yeah, someone's got a Boba fetish.
Yeah. I hate you.
I just don't. I don't think I understand though why the Slave Leia concept is okay in general when other stuff similar to it is not.
I think.
What do you mean? Other stuff
is like comic books where women are just drawn provocatively and things like that.
It all has to do with superheroes,
I guess. But I mean. There, you mean to tell me though, like Harley Quinn, for example, she's always drawn all like sexy and beautiful, and every girl in the world dresses up as Harley Quinn at comic conventions.
Ren and I can attest to that. We saw many carded Quins this weekend, the comic.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, she gets drawn sluttier and sluttier in every single issue.
Well, it also has... in Harley Quinn's case, I think that might have to do with her being a bad guy and being slutty is a bad thing. But in general, I think it really has to just do with the context that you're putting it in. Mm-hmm. Like Slave Leia, the context there is that she is being captured. She has been captured by Jabba the Hutt. He has forced her to wear this demeaning outfit, and
who knows what else?
Right. Because he did that, she then had a weapon to defeat him with.
No time does she ever act sexy or do anything sexy in the outfit.
She's laying there pretty sexy
when Luke comes in
on the throne. Yeah,
when Luke comes in, she's like, "Oh, look, it's Luke."
Yeah, she's laying there looking like.
Oh wait, was this before they decided they were siblings?
Yeah, it was before.
Also,
that came
I don't
out.
Remember the continuity.
I remember
earlier
thinking,
in the movie.
I remember I was a little boy and I was like, "Ooh la la," when I saw her on the throne.
Well, it's because we spent the previous two movies kind of oogling her, and then now all of a sudden you see a whole lot more than was ever covered before.
Yeah, she went from a white dress to like an Eskimo outfit to a bikini.
Yeah.
Bespin Leia is still my favorite.
Then to a hippie over on the Ewok Village.
But also, that wasn't like her only look.
Right.
That's another important distinction.
Well, and I think it's also important to touch on the fact that they're not trying to sex up her character in 7, 8, 9, we're seeing her in a more matronly role. Sure, she's still going to have a bunch of different outfits and hairstyles and that kind of thing, but we're going to see her as a responsible, powerful military general,
not as a
sex symbol.
I've seen a lot of real positive reactions from like feminist groups about like them not trying to like over glamorize the fact that Carrie Fisher is now an older woman. Like, you know, that Hollywood is so superficial and they shy so far away from like older females in films, and it looks like Abrams has allowed, you know, Carrie Fisher to play, you know, a realistic version of how old Princess Leia is supposed to be. And so maybe this is them trying to like piggyback off the success they've gotten off of those kind of stories.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That's funny you mentioned that. The first time I ever really noticed any aging women in Hollywood was when Cybill Shepherd, she was a very big advocate of having women over the age of like 30 hired for roles, because she's like, it's nothing but young kids doing all this shit, and it really drove her nuts.
Yeah.
She's like, why can't older women have awesome roles in Hollywood? And that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And look at the... I don't want to say backlash, but look at all the attention that the new Bond movie, Spectre, is getting.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah, from having a Bond girl that's the same age as Bond, you know?
Right.
And they're saying an older woman. She's not older, she's age-appropriate.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
Oh, and it's Monica Bellucci, too.
I know, she's so hot. Oh, my God, I love her so much.
There's nothing wrong.
Oh, and she was born in 1964, for crying out.
Right, and like she's like looks amazing, but all that mattered was that she was quote unquote older.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, it's just gross.
Women got it rough.
Yeah, we do. Kind of sucks sometimes.
Hey, I'm a feminist. I'm all for women's rights.
But I don't have any problem with Slave Leia.
You don't? And you don't have a problem with Harley Quinn looking sluttier and sluttier?
I don't really have an opinion on that matter.
And then
I haven't seen what she looks like these days.
I guess my real question is who's doing the arguing? Because I see a lot of women dressing up as Harley looking very promiscuous.
Yeah.
They obviously don't have a problem dressing up like this, and they are women. So I don't understand.
It's a very small and very loud minority. That's all it is. It's squeaky wheel.
Well,
gets
I imagine it comes from comic readers who are female and who are kind of tired of being inundated with all these over-sexualized images of women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but, and I think it goes audience-wide, too, because, like, let's be honest, like, Batman, if you were to gauge the readership of Batman, it probably skews heavily male versus female, because comics in general skew more male than female, to where Star Wars is really a four-quadrant film. It gets old, young, men, women, so it hits all four, checks all four boxes, and it looks like the new trilogy is really, really aiming for that, and it's great. You know, Kathleen Kennedy's done an amazing job of, you know, adding more strong females. You know, we have Gwendolyn Christie's going to be one of, like, the main bad guys. We got Daisy Ridley, who's going to be arguably the main protagonist in the film. You know, Kathleen Kennedy is a female, and she's running the ship, basically. So, and she promises the next movies are going to have even more females, much to the chagrin of the boycott Star Wars assholes. But I think that maybe that has something to do with where Harley can be sexualized because they're playing to their audience type thing.
So what do we need to make everyone happy? Do we need a plain Jane looking homely person that's like 180 pound, 5'3" female superhero? Is that what we want?
Justin, you can't make everyone happy.
I can. That's my mission. I'm gonna make everyone happy.
Then you need to kill the internet. Or you just need to make like 9 different versions of every movie. That's where we're going. This is the feminist version of Star Wars. Here's the fanboy version of Star Wars. Here's the older version of Star Wars. Here's the little kid version of Star Wars.
I don't understand what we need to do.
Nothing. It's just, you know, the small groups are always going to bitch.
Like, nothing bothers me. It's so weird. I can look at anything and nothing bothers. Aside from people
check
being
hurt.
Check
your privilege.
Yeah.
Check your privilege, Justin.
I know. I'm going to have to. I literally have no idea what it's like to be wronged in this world.
Let me put it this way, then. I think part of why we're hearing more about these sorts of things is because it's easier now to bring issues like this into, like, the greater consciousness. And, yeah, it does go a little overboard, but I also think it's needed.
Right.
Even for things that the majority of us are going to say, like, that's not really an issue. At least people are talking about it.
Right.
So even though, like, I don't think that, like, Slave Leia is a big deal, if it does bother certain people, they should be able to say that it bothers them.
Right.
Whether or not it actually means anything or not, or whether it actually changes anything, is another issue.
Right.
But at least the conversation is open now, whereas 50 years ago? Has it been that long?
No.
Okay. 40 years ago.
But where does it stop?
It doesn't.
Like, what if someone's upset because there's not enough gingers in episode 4?
Well, that's not a thing, though.
Where's the line? Like, I mean, I think as a society, we have to, like, we should really be choosing our battles. And, like, fan-given name. Because, I mean, Lucasfilm never named her Slave Leia. This is just something the fans name. You know,
right.
She's
also
Leia.
Why I think it's not really that big of a deal.
It's probably some asshole on Reddit. Reddit's the worst.
I love Reddit. I look at cat videos, though.
Reddit's the worst. Like,
we're also
the worst
having a debate about
Redditors.
A thing that's just a rumor, too.
Yeah, that's
so.
If you're if you Reddit, you're probably an awful person.
Right. Well, I guess my ultimate concern is who is ranting and raving, because when I go to comic conventions, all I see are beautiful women dressed very...
It's probably not. There probably isn't anybody complaining about it. It's probably just Disney trying to cover its bases.
Mm-hmm. Or you probably nailed it, Justin. It's someone who doesn't know what it is taking it out of context. To where if someone didn't know that this girl was dressed as Harley Quinn and opened a comic just at a random panel and saw a provocative picture of Harley Quinn, they would probably freak out because they're not in the space and they don't know the context of the piece.
Right.
Maybe that's the same thing with Slave Leia. Maybe someone cosplayed Slave Leia and was going across the street to get her coffee, and her little kid saw a little bit of this other person's thigh, and then she freaked out and said, "How can they have this character in Star Wars?"
Right.
Gee, for Christ's sake.
And even on Twitter, I see a lot of females on Twitter that label themselves a geek, and all their photos are of them dressed as naughty superheroes and naughty characters from pop culture.
And well, those are just the attention whores.
Yeah, and they are just trying to get followers or whatever, but they're obviously very comfortable with their body, and that's great, but I don't want anyone to be mad at them for doing so. You know what I mean?
It's a difficult dichotomy that, like, women are still trying to navigate. Like, we want to own our sexuality, but then we don't want to be called sluts or whores mm-hmm. or whatever.
Well, dressing up as those things doesn't make you a slut or a whore, but I'm sure people can label
still
you.
People call you them, yeah. just as, like, Dave unwittingly called them attention whores.
Right.
Like,
I was not unwittingly.
Well, that's just a figure of speech, though, but yeah.
For just
no, but see, but that specific. But that word is still there.
Whore. I heard whore.
And it's gendered. It's a gendered, like, slur.
Oh, I know a lot.
I don't think so, because we call a lot of males attention whores as well.
We're just more progressive.
I don't think it's used as much for men.
I would agree with Amanda.
I would as well. I would say it probably leans more towards women, but I wouldn't call a woman a whore.
Neither.
I'd call a dude a whore, though. Call Justin a whore.
I know. Definitely call Justin a whore.
And I'm okay with that.
You own it.
Yes. Like a badge of honor.
He's owning his sexuality.
Yes. That's what I do. Don't be ashamed. Rock out with your cock out.
I can't.
If you have one.
Old.
If you don't, rock out with whatever you have.
I'm a grower, not a shower.
Flaunt the goods. So what else? What's next?
We're not done?
No. All right, we even started.
I think we have to use that, because we got into some meaningful discussion that we have to put that in the podcast.
Yes. It's there. It's all there, man. I'm not editing. We'll do it to it.
Yeah, take that.
Doing it live.
Next on the list was...
I was just going to say we're doing it live.
Yes, this podcast was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah.
Worst box office of 2015?
Fucking nightmare. Last week was terrible. This week was even worse. We had more new releases this week, and it appears that Paramount's experiment that they did with Paranormal Activity and this week with Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, it's looking like it's not a terrible success story. So what Paramount was trying to do last week with Paranormal Activity was they released Paranormal Activity, and then 3 weekends later they release it on video on demand. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was a lot of theater owners and theater chains decided that they weren't going to carry the film, because they're like, well, you know, if you're going to do this to us, you're gonna cut us at the knees for the box office. We're just not going to show it. That's why I think Paranormal Activity only screened at like 1,600 theaters. Same thing happened this week with Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. It only played in 1,500 theaters because it's doing the same strategy. It's coming out on VOD in, you know, 2 more weeks. And I think this was Paramount's. I think they were hoping this was going to become a bigger thing, and they were going to use it later. Who knows? Maybe their video on demand numbers will be huge, but the box office is not their friend. The Martian, Goosebumps, and Bridge of Spies were 1, 2, 3 again. They were the same thing as last week. Burnt, the new Bradley Cooper movie, came out, made $5 million, taking home 6th place. Sandra Bullock had her worst opening ever, $3.3 million for Our Brand is Crisis. And Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse made $1.8 million, which saddens Randy and me on a different level, but that's neither here nor there. So the box office was just kind of a bum, kind of a bust. But The Martian, it keeps on trucking.
That's Best Ridley Picture, Scott's dude.
It's Ridley Scott's highest grossing domestic release of all time.
Yeah, I honestly think that's going to win Best Picture.
It's probably in my top three so far, but I haven't seen Star Wars yet. Or Hunger Games.
Hunger Games
is not going to be in your top three.
But it depends how they can fix some of my glaring problems with the books. But no, it probably won't. I'm assuming the end of the year my top three will go Star Wars, Mad Max, Straight Outta Compton.
Oh yeah, Straight Outta Compton was really good too.
Yeah, I think that it's hard to say. I haven't seen Hateful Eight, I guess.
Oh yeah, Kingsman was pretty fucking amazing.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Kingsman's probably my top 10. Point Break comes out on Christmas.
Oh god, that trailer's so stupid.
It's the worst.
Jesus, I forget what I went and saw a trailer for that.
Comes out on Christmas.
What did I see? Oh, when I saw The Martian is when I saw a trailer for Point Break.
Oh. That's why I love The Martian so much. Your just brain was just
melted
from watching.
Yeah. You want the ultimate. You got to be willing to pay the ultimate price, Dave.
Ugh. Vomit.
Terrible. Yeah, Martian's killing it, dude. If that wins Best Picture, I would not mind in the least bit.
I would love it if Matt Damon finally got his acting Oscar for it. Obviously, he's got his writing one for Good Will Hunting, but it'd be nice if he got an acting. He'll get nominated, but I think the movie's made too much money now.
Oh yeah, Hollywood doesn't like that shit. They're weird.
Yeah, I think they were really hoping that Bridge of Spies would be a bigger box office draw, mm-hmm. and so same thing with Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, they expanded to wide release, and it's kind of petered out. It's only at $14 million total domestically, and it was a $30 million budget before any kind of marketing. So,
but won't that make up, in the Golden Globes, isn't that where they buy their way into their nods and stuff?
Yeah, but I mean, for like the Oscars, you know, I think they were really hoping that, you know, Sorkin obviously would get an Oscar. They're hoping that the Sorkin, Danny Boyle, Michael Fassbender trio would be able to levitate them to a Best Picture. So
pass.
So we'll see. A lot of these big movies have underperformed. So, you know, who knows? Maybe The Hateful Eight will be able to sneak in and be that indie darling that Tarantino wants it to be.
Now, why are these movies not doing so well? Is it because Redbox is only a dollar to watch a movie these days?
It's a combination of things. This weekend we had Halloween, obviously. So Saturday, a lot of people were having parties and trick-or-treating. So the box office was expected to be down. Like I was saying with the Paramount stuff, with Scouts Guides and Paranormal Activity, they're trying to experiment with something. And you know, the overall quality is down. A lot of these are getting like B-, C+ cinema scores, meaning that the audiences aren't liking the movie. Our Brand is Crisis was really trying to bank on Sandra Bullock, but it's been marketed pretty awfully, and it had a C+ cinema score, which is pretty much saying that don't see this movie, it's terrible. Burnt, same thing, as they were trying to just rely on the charm of Bradley Cooper. And it just seems like it was just the marketing for that film also seemed a little off. Like it seemed a little scatterbrained. Like it didn't seem like focused, like how Disney focused. Like Force Awakens is like a laser beam focused marketing campaign, and a lot of these other ones just seem kind of all over the place. And you know,
is October historically a low down month anyway?
Or yeah, it's typically because it's summer's over and it hasn't got into the November, December months of the holiday
Oscar
season.
Shit, yeah.
So yeah, so October's usually down, but this is if The Martian and Goosebumps wasn't killing it like they had been, then it would be a much different story. We'd be pretty woe is us. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jem made $300,000 this weekend.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that last week. We didn't even know it came out.
Yeah, so it's at $2 million.
I haven't seen a single trailer for that movie.
Yeah, well, Rock the Casbah, same thing. It's
yeah.
I think people are over Bill Murray.
I took over your role doing the box office last week, David.
Yeah, I heard you did an excellent job.
Yeah, all those movies were just in the toilet. It just made me so sad.
Yeah, I mean, and Rock the Casbah looks terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm all for Bill Murray's fun, I guess, but like, it just didn't look like a good movie.
It saddens me that Bill Murray isn't the draw that I feel he should be, you know?
Has he ever been a real draw, though? Like, do his movies make money?
I mean, not for a while. I mean, he does all the Wes Anderson movies. But other than that, you know, Bill Murray's not... He's not gonna, you know...
Like, Man Who Knew Too Little or whatever the fuck, and the one
like
with the elephant.
That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
Operation Dumbo Drunk.
He was in Larger Than Life.
Larger Than Life, that's it.
Yeah. McConaughey was in that too.
But I mean, that was when Bill Murray was still obviously relevant, you know?
Yeah, that's you know, only 4 years or so after Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Groundhog Day was amazing. And then Royal Tenenbaums, and I know you like Life Aquatic, and fucking that hotel one. What's the hotel one called? The one that just came out last year. Budapest.
Budapest. Okay. Yeah. Well, here's a fun thing.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Bill Murray has four movies. He's been in four movies that have grossed over $100 million. Can you guys name all four of them?
Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, Groundhog Day. And,
nope.
No.
Groundhog Day's at 70.
Oh, really? That sucks. Yeah. No. What about the one with Sofia Coppola?
Lost in Translation?
Yeah.
Yeah, that made 40.
Is Caddyshack in there?
Caddyshack is not in. So the number one, his highest grossing film is Ghostbusters at $242 million. The number two is Tootsie, which he had a relatively small role in.
Right. It's
$177 million. Then Charlie's Angels, again, a relatively small role. He did $125 million. Then Ghostbusters 2 made $112 million. And after that, he doesn't have anything over $100
million. Yeah, see, he's...
Not even Garfield.
He's a piece.
Or Zombieland. Space Jam.
Space Zombieland was really good, and that cameo was amazing.
Yeah.
But that one didn't do really well at the box office, though, did it?
It made $75 million. It did pretty good.
And it's now forever a cult classic amongst
zombies.
Yeah, it definitely reached cult classic status.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Murray's fifth highest grossing film is Stripes.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's maybe my favorite Bill Murray movie, but it just shows, you know, a lot of his movies, especially...
Even over Ghostbusters? That's like blasphemy.
Lighten up, Francis.
Yeah. I don't know. But Ghostbusters is like a team. Like Stripes is like a Bill Murray movie.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, for Ghostbusters Meatballs, and Caddyshack and, yeah, even Meatballs, you know, those are like a cast. To where Stripes is really just, even though it's got John Candy and Harold Ramis, it's just like a Bill Murray movie.
You know what's funny about Ghostbusters 2 is even in that movie, Bill Murray doesn't want to be a part of the team.
No.
That's kind of... I never even realized
that. He wants to bang Dana.
He's been a dick since Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Here he could be a part of something really special, and he's like, eh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see the box office of Bill Murray. He's really not the draw. Scrooged made 60.
Touche. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. You know what is cool?
What?
Lightsabers. Too bad you can't take them to The Force Awakens.
Aw, that's too bad.
That's one of the biggest things that I remember about the opening of all the prequels. Everybody fucking waving their goddamn lightsabers in the air, just being super obnoxious when the movie's playing. It's like, God damn it, I want to see the movie, not your stupid lightsaber toys.
Yeah. No weapons or masks.
Yeah, no masks. So if you want to go as Kylo Ren or a stormtrooper, make sure you don't have the mask on.
Yeah. Start growing your hair long so you can get that Adam Driver look.
Yeah, they also have the ambiguous note of you can't have weapons or costumes that look like they could conceal a weapon.
Oh.
So no, I'm assuming that means no flowing capes, no this, no that. So
no capes.
I think my younger son was hoping to wear his Darth Vader costume when we saw The Force Awakens, but I guess he will not be able to.
Just put it in your pocket. You got big pockets.
He's a little dude.
To be fair though, you probably really aren't going to want to sit there for 2 hours and 16 minutes in some big clunky costume anyway. Just be comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, but kids are dumb. They like that stuff.
You should make it like a post-Bonfire Vader costume where you're just all ashy and gross.
It's all burnt.
All your clothes are burnt off you. You're just there.
That'd be cool. Or a ghost Vader. He should be.
That's like a nightmare.
How is that supposed to work?
You just ghost repaint Vader. The costume blue.
Probably. Yeah, but you're still wearing the helmet. It's still a big...
No, I know. I just mean it would be funny. That there's always... No one ever goes as ghost anything. I think that would be funny shit. And why is he in his outfit like his regular Jedi robes? He's a piece of shit. He killed millions of people. He's a fucker. He should be forever Ghost Vader and have to walk in that stupid costume forever.
And the outfit that he's wearing, he never even wore in the prequels. It's literally Hayden Christensen's head pasted on top of Sebastian Shaw's body.
Yes.
It's terrible. It's nothing that Hayden Christensen ever even wore in episode 2 or 3. That's what rubs me the wrong way. Not only the fact that he's just there, his appearance sucks, but the fact...
He's all fat in his big old robe.
It's like 4 years after.
He's wearing his daddy's Jedi robes. What an idiot.
It's like, come on. It's like we got to see the old Vader, and sure, they CGI'd out his fucking eyebrows because he had big old caterpillar face going on.
Because burn victims don't have eyebrows.
Yeah, they CG'd a couple other things, I think, on Sebastian Shaw's face. But it's like, to add insult to the injury, are you really going to take out the one and only shot where his goddamn descendants, his family, could recognize him in the movie and say, hey, that's your great-grandfather up on screen? Nope. No, fucking Hayden Christensen.
Like, Dad, Grandpa was hot.
Yeah.
doesn't look like he can act for shit, but he looks hot.
Close your eyes,
Did you see the... Close your eyes, son. Yeah. Did Slash Film... found an article that Lucas had done for like Time magazine in like 1984, where he talks about like changing art and that it's like a travesty and like it should never be done.
Oh wow. Well, people change.
Yeah.
Now it's my art. Yeah. I can do whatever I want to.
After 13 years, he's like, you know what? I changed my mind. I can change.
What's his name? Shaw? What's the real?
Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah, maybe he. Isn't that the bad guy in X-Men?
Different
guy.
He's the black king, the white king of the Hellfire Club.
They should have Kevin Bacon be in the next re-release with his little helmet, his dorky helmet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of sad. People can't dress up and have a good time. That's a little sad.
Yeah, I remember like Randy that people had their little lightsabers. I didn't have any of them like flashing them during the movie, but they like all had them like when it. Like the Lucasfilm logo came on, they all like did their lightsabers for a couple seconds and then put them away. But
yeah,
I remember just like the mob scenes of like episode one. So if episode seven is anything like episode one, it was insane. Like just like the crowds, and I was one of the few times I remember being excited. Like the crowd was all into it. And, like theaters would do like trivia before it. So hopefully episode seven will bring back some of that magic, just with a better film.
Uh oh, it's magic.
Exactly.
I like that song.
So that's the new segue for like, shut up, David.
No, I just like
when
the song.
I start talking too long, just start singing.
Randy likes that song too, so it's okay. In fact, it's probably in his car right now.
It probably is. Yeah.
So there. <set. laughs> So there. Anywho, so
you know me too well.
I do. You fall too easy. Freaking. Books! You guys read these things. The Star Wars novel has now been postponed to avoid spoilers.
That's good. That's good news.
Yes.
I call this the Randy Clause.
Yeah.
Because the way they've done it in the past, or at least I think the way they did it with Revenge of the Sith, they had it come out like a week before the movie, or a couple days before the movie. It was long enough to give you time to read through the entire thing, so there were no surprises left, except for when they unceremoniously yanked Qui-Gon from appearing in the movie.
Oh yeah, there was even a Lego Star Wars game though that came out before the movie.
Yep,
and you got to do the battle on Mustafar or whatever.
And they released all the kids' books with like the pictures, and so you get to like so the kids' version of the novel. So you see all the pictures of how the movies. I think they're really setting us up for some big I'm your father type reveal, and it probably is going to. I think it's going to be the Luke one and then maybe the Han one that Randy wants, because Randy hates Han Solo so much he wants to see him dead.
Mm-hmm. I don't hate him. I just think that
for every time you open your mouth, it's gotta happen. Every time you're like, I wish they killed Han Solo. Every time.
Isn't he more of like a traitor and a mutineer than anything else?
Yeah, good riddance, man. You can't trust
him. He's a damn pirate.
Yeah, he's a fucker. You can't trust a pirate.
He's a scruffy looking nerf herder.
Scruffy looking.
Gotta get rid of that. But no, I like this. I like that they're really trying to keep the mystery and mystique. You know, they haven't really shown us anything in the trailers. You know, they're not going to release the soundtrack till the movie comes out. They're not going to the novels.
That's for you, Dave. So there's no funeral track listings.
Yeah, the noble ending of Qui-Gon. I'm like, oh, so I guess Qui-Gon doesn't make it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But the novel's not coming out. It's going to come out January 18th, so 1 month after. Episode 7 comes out.
There you go. That answers the question: is when with the statute of limitations on spoilers is 1 month.
It's 1 month, 1 month in written form.
Yeah,
but now no one's going to buy the book now.
Who's writing it?
That's a fantastic question. I don't know. Not Matt Stover, who wrote Episode 3. He's one of my favorite Star Wars writers. J.J. Abrams. He does it all. Probably did craft services on the film too.
He doesn't write books. He takes credit for thinking of books.
Oh, I like that. That's even better. How do I get that job?
In TV shows. Gotta know a guy.
His name's on everything.
I have a book that he took credit for thinking of.
Yeah? Was it the Bible?
No.
Like, this is totally mine. This is this guy.
He came up with this concept for a book, and then he got somebody else to write it. His name is on the cover along with this guy who actually wrote it.
Yeah, that ghost wrote it.
Wow.
There's a lot of that.
Speaking of writing, Amanda, you're trying to get to 50,000 words in a month, right? For November? You want to talk about that for a second?
I guess.
Let's do that. You're a writer. Let's brag about you for a second.
I'm currently writing a fantasy novel, and the whole idea for NaNoWriMo is that you're supposed to start something completely new, but fuck that shit. I need to finish my book. So I decided I'm going to just keep working on my book, but force myself to write 50,000 words, and hopefully by the end of this year, my first draft will be done.
That's awesome.
What's your target, like word or page count?
Oh, well, I don't have a target for the end of the book. I just need to get there. And 50,000 words, I'm pretty sure, is going to get me, if not to the end, then close enough to the end that during December, I'll be able to finish it up.
You can just tack on, and they lived happily ever after.
Yes.
No, I'm writing a trilogy, so it's not going to be over yet.
Oh, that's the worst. Are you starting with the third book, so at least it's ending?
No, I'm starting with the first book.
Oh. What you do is you write the end, and then you work your way backwards, see? That's the way
to
do it.
No. How are you supposed to, like, shop your book around if you start at the end?
Wasn't that how The Hobbit was done? The Hobbit was first? And then...
Oh. Well, The Hobbit...
Oh, I guess that's... No, first. No, it was it first. Was you're right, you're first. Right. You're right. And then the sequel was...
He had no plans to write the sequels, that's but right. The Hobbit did so well. His publisher was like, hey, you should write more of these.
That's right. He's like, all right, here's 20 billion words and 3 books.
Yeah.
But it's way better.
Way more than you wanted to know.
I could have probably told it in half the words, but, you know.
And you said it's a fantasy book?
Yes,
I'm
writing,
like Fifty Shades of Grey fantasy?
I don't have to do any research for fantasy. I just make it all up.
Oh, there you go.
Though, I did worry that I was going to have to do some research recently. Because I have made allusions to just, like, generalized religion, but I hadn't actually thought about what the religion was. Oh. And I don't actually know anything about religion. I wasn't really raised religiously. So
just do what the other religions do and just make it up as you go.
You know what? That's exactly what I fucking did.
And then if the rules the rules aren't convenient for the character, just have them interpret them differently.
I was going to borrow a book from the library about theology, but then I had a brainwave on what the religion in my book should be, and so I just made up a new religion this past weekend.
You don't have to worry about anything until you get a billion fans and they all want to know more about the religion.
Oh, fuck. I'm not looking forward to that.
And you got to write, like, the book.
Yeah.
Going to signings and having people ask me, like, crazy questions and just have to say, like, you know what? That's a good question.
Look for the answer in my next book.
Yeah. You tease it. You're like, oh, I can't tell you. It's part of the book.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. No, it would spoil things.
I'd be like, what do you think it means? Write notes.
Like, oh, that's a good idea.
That's a really good interpretation.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're just like, well, you're close. You're close.
Yeah, exactly.
That way you can still steal it.
That's funny shit. Well, congratulations and best of luck. I hope that you finish in December.
Oh, I'm going to finish.
Every week we're going to ask you.
I need to make money.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
No, but like I physically have to do this. It's kind of like a mental exercise for me. It keeps me sane. So I'm gonna finish my book, and then hopefully someone will want to read it, and then I'll make some money off of it, I won't be poor anymore.
We'll read it on the podcast. We'll do a chapter, an episode.
Oh, it'll be an audiobook. How many pages do you think it's gonna be total?
It's going to be at least, like, around 600 to 800 pages long.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a really long book.
And that's just, can you cut that into 3 books and that is your trilogy? Can you just do it?
Don't, 3, 6, 9? Don't make yourself into the George R. R. Martin corner where the books are so long and daunting that you can't complete your series, because a trilogy will turn into, like, a series of 7.
Well, actually, I've already split the first book into 2 books. Because I had this whole plan for the first book, and then I realized, well, this is too much to go into one book, and so I, like, half the stuff I was planning is going into the second book.
Jeez. Better to be long because your editor will tell you, well, you got 600 pages here. We need to cut half. So
exactly. Exactly.
From six to three is easier than three to 150, I guess.
Right. That's what an editor is for.
When you're done, we'll kidnap Will Wheaton, force him to do the audiobook, and then when you go to publish, he's like, hey, Will Wheaton's already done the audiobook for me. Easy sell.
Yeah. Done.
And then Randy goes to
prison. And Randy what?
Goes to prison because he kidnapped Will Wheaton.
Oh.
He's the fall guy in this scenario. Okay. Sorry, man.
Sounds good to me.
I'm down. Let's do it.
What else I got?
You got your Females Ocean's 11 that you're all juiced up about.
Oh, yeah. Number one new hit show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you love the heat.
I love females. I love Sandra Bullock. Especially and I love heat. Ocean's 11. I don't know, man. I think that this movie's already been remade once, and it's absurd to remake it again.
Preach. Testify.
I don't know. I think call it something else. It could be easily be some heist movie, but it doesn't have to be Ocean's 11.
Yeah, just be a...
They just want to capitalize on the name, that's all. Mm-hmm. They can't be bothered to think of a new name.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if Ocean's 11 has the clout currently, because I mean, it was one great movie and two so-so films, and it's not that old to where, I mean, I think that they could just get Sandra Bullock and like four other like cool chicks and like have... A really great heist film. Remake Dead Presidents, but with white girls.
Oh, there you go. And an important thing to remember, that Ocean's 11 had a lot of A-listers in it, but they all did it for dirt cheap. There was like a group project on this one.
Yeah.
They did a lot of favors. Out. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, these guys are all big dollar stars, and the budget was $85 million, and most of that was because it was shot in a casino. It cost so much money.
Oh, because they had to pay the casino.
Yeah, it cost stupid money to shoot in a casino.
I see the casting for that movie being exactly like when Brad Pitt and George Clooney are pitching the heist to them, with the Matt Damon character sitting outside. Oh, you like it there? Get in the goddamn house.
Yeah, exactly.
I see Clooney just like bullying them all. You're doing it. We're signing. We're all signing.
A man in a really nice camper. Oh, good shit. So I don't know, man. I'm not into it.
I like Sandy B as much as the next guy. I'll watch it.
I like my heist movies to have cards.
Is she supposed to be Ocean?
Yes.
Supposedly?
She'll be Danielle Ocean. Yeah. Stupid.
Brad Pitt's
pretty enough. He could probably be in it. He's a pretty guy.
Remember how he's eating in every scene in that movie?
Yeah.
I don't feel like she's enough of a leader.
You don't think so?
Like, in the roles that I think of with her.
Mm-hmm. Like, The Blind Side.
She's not really, like, a leader. Oh, wait. Well, I guess that, yeah, in The Blind Side, she does it really well. Never mind. I forgot about The Blind Side. I was just thinking about all of her comedies.
Right, I guess.
Where she's probably just being like a crazy person.
I mean, next to maybe Jennifer Lawrence, she's probably the most bankable female actor out there. And so I guess if they were to come out with a cast tomorrow.
No way, that one chick, the Hunger Games girl, Jennifer Lawrence.
That's what I said, aside from Jennifer Lawrence.
That's what he just said.
Oh, I heard something totally different.
I'm like, what did I do?
I heard Jennifer Lopez. I'm like, what are you talking about, Jennifer Lopez?
No, I
totally heard Jennifer Lopez. That's so funny.
You having a stroke?
I am. I'm losing my fucking mind, dude.
But I mean, if they got Sandra Bullock and they got like four or five other like A-list actresses, I'd be in for it. If they got the Jennifer Lawrence, maybe even Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, get both.
Get them both.
J-Law and J-Lo.
Oh, man. I swear to God, I heard Jennifer Lopez, and I'm thinking to myself, what is he talking about? What has she done?
What is this, 1999?
She's Jenny from the block. She used to have a little, now she's got a lot.
I know. I love it. Oh, my God. I'm losing my mind. Losing my mind.
All that time travel?
Fucking saying The Hobbit came out second, and Jennifer Lopez. What else we got? X-Men. They're reshooting this movie to make it better. And by doing so, you add more Wolverine.
You've confused Amanda. No, they're doing reshoots.
So confused.
They're doing reshoots for X-Men, which is standard practice. All blockbusters do reshoots.
Pickups.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're Hugh Jackman's been very cagey if he's going to be in it or not, because he's on his kind of Wolverine farewell tour. The Wolverine 3 will be his last stint as Wolverine, and so we didn't know if he was going to be involved or how much he's going to be involved, but now rumors are that the reshoots are basically to add more Wolverine to this movie. Last time we saw Wolverine in Days of Future Past, he was in the 70s. He was pulled out of the ocean by Stryker / Mystique. And in the present, he reunited with everybody he knew and loved. So there's kind of a bridge there. So
Days of Future Past was basically Wolverine 3.
Felt like it. It's his movie.
There's a lot of Wolverine.
I'm okay with that. You got naked
Wolverine.
I feel like he made it a lot better than it might have been.
It's way better than Slave Leia. It's all naked on the bed.
Slave Wolverine.
Ooh.
Eating bananas.
It's a cosplay with the bone claws.
Ooh. That's dirty.
We need a palate cleanser. We need a palate cleanser. Talk about Star Trek TV series. Amanda, go.
Yay, Star Trek! CBS announced that they're thinking about having another Star Trek TV show.
They announced that they're thinking about?
No, they're going to do it. They're going to do it, and they're going to use it to launch their own streaming service. They're going to have their own like pay-to-watch service for CBS shows, and the new Star Trek show is going to be... Oh, wait, they already have it?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
What's it called?
Oh, no, wait, sorry. It's going to be their first original content that's only for this streaming service.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So, initially, they're not going to air it on television. You'll have to subscribe to this to CBS's thing in order to watch it.
Yeah, it's called CBS All Access.
All Access, what it was.
Yeah. Oh.
And so, it's important to note that they've been wanting to do it for a while, but Skydance, who partnered with Paramount to release the J.J. Abrams versions of the Star Trek movies, they had been legally fighting it to try to put a stop to it because they didn't want to confuse audiences by having both a television show and a film. And Skydance has been having a lot of legal trouble lately because a lot of their films have been underperforming. And so this was one of the concessions. They couldn't afford a prolonged legal battle with CBS, who is not hurting for money. So we all win.
Or do we? You won't know until it comes out.
It's all about Q and Data. It's a buddy cop.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. But I think Brent Spiner is kind of over being Data.
He's so old. They're all old now.
Well, yeah. Except for Patrick Stewart. He looks the same. Yeah.
He does.
He's looked that way since Dune. Yeah.
He's got some like Dorian Gray painting in his attic or something. I'll watch it. Well, I'll pay for it for a month after all the episodes have come out so I can binge watch them at once. Because fuck CBS. Like, seriously? You're only going to put it on your stupid thing and make us all pay to watch it even though we already got cable?
Yeah, and it's dumb. Bullshit. It's like $9.95 a month. It's like a lot.
I thought it was $6.
Yeah, maybe it is. That's still too much.
Yeah.
Shit comes through my TV set.
Right. Whatever. Anyway.
TV's dumb.
We'll see. They haven't even started writing it yet, so I have no opinions yet.
Maybe they'll be so enamored with your fantasy novel, they'll let you write it.
I don't want to write Star Trek.
And then it can be Q and Data have like a bed and breakfast on Andori 5. And it's just about the travelers who come through. It's like Deep Space Nine, but at a B&B.
And Data has this mischievous cat that's always getting into trouble, sneaking into all the guests' rooms and whatnot.
And then what?
He like laughs like...
What do you mean? It practically writes itself.
I mean, there's your cliffhangers. Like the cliffhanger is Data's cat like accidentally jumps into someone's suitcase as they're leaving, and they take them back home to like Vulcan.
And then he's like, "Where did Spot go?"
And then the guy calls him on like the holophone and says, "I got your cat," and he's like, "Spot," and then they freeze frame.
Yeah, it's a total sitcom.
Yeah,
it just freeze frame, roll credits with the goofy music, like Three's Company style music.
Or yeah. Hugh hates the cat and he's always trying to like kill the cat, like transport him to space.
It's the new Three's Company.
Yeah, it's well, come and knock on my door.
You should have Alf in it too, because he's always trying to eat cats.
Oh, Justin, get a pen. Write
they
this
go,
down.
They go to Melmac. They go to Melmac, and the cat's in danger because they all eat cats there.
I'm liking this. I think
is that you so. Making notes?
yeah.
First episode's done.
I just sent it out to the Writers Guild to get
get a WGA registration number.
Yeah, we're good.
Wait, no one can take that idea now.
Copyright incoming.
We used like all those free ones that Justin's always giving out.
We always used to watch Alf at Autoland. Remember that?
We did.
Why?
Alf and Exo Squad, because it was on Hulu and there was nothing else to do.
Oh.
We weren't going to work.
So that one time we watched Randy's show.
Oh, yeah! That horrible Not Saved by the Bell show?
They came from outer space. The greatest like 90s sex comedy stupid sci-fi show ever.
But it was like an hour though, right? It was a long show.
It was an hour sitcom.
About two horny dudes trying to get laid in an alien.
Yeah, if you've ever seen the movie Ski School, it's the same two guys from that. The comic duo of, oh god, I can't think of their names.
So anyway, their parents can't either.
Yeah, well, ouch. One of them was the pizza dude from Men at Work. Anyway. It was a fun show. I enjoyed the shit out of it. I hadn't seen it since the early 90s when I was but a tween. And or I guess I would have been a teen technically at that point in time. But I was a young shit. but I hadn't seen it until God, 20 years later. And it did not hold up well.
No, it did not. It was awful.
I made these guys sit through like one episode. They're like, Randy, why?
Why are you doing this to us?
I think I had to bribe them by buying them lunch to get them to sit in my office to watch this piece of shit show.
And well, Randy, can we watch Alf again?
let me put this into into some terms that might make you guys laugh. I don't know if I ever told you guys this. I've never seen a full episode of Alf. Even when we worked there, and you guys were watching it out in your area in my office, I was always watching other shit, but I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of Alf. So I spent my time watching that shit instead.
Oh,
of
we all sat at my desk and watched it. You may not have paid attention.
Yeah,
true.
During the lunch.
Yeah, but that was never really my jam necessarily.
Oh, it's got aliens.
I know
aliens
and the Achmonics. Alien. The Achmonics, the crazy Jewish neighbors.
I think I'd be willing to give it a shot again. Didn't they try to resurrect Alf a little bit like 5 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, now they get the talk show.
Now they get to do it again in Star Trek, the TV series.
Patent pending.
He's going to be in Preacher.
No, I don't think that's true.
Didn't you see him in the trailer?
I did. I didn't. I must have missed that part.
He must have blinked.
Did you guys ever read Preacher?
No.
No.
But people who read it are fanatical about it. It's kind of like Sandman. You know, people who read Sandman, like, tell you that, like, no comic is as good as Sandman. Uh-huh. People that read Preacher, like, no, dude, you don't read real comics. Like, this is Preacher.
Duh.
Okay. It's Data's daughter.
Yeah, exactly. God, that lady. I wonder what she's up to.
She's probably doing the same thing to other people now.
Yeah, probably. I never read Preacher. Never got into it.
No?
Not my thing.
Yeah, I didn't either. That looks interesting. I like the idea of a vengeful priest. Or
well,
preacher.
You don't have to read it. You can watch the TV show now.
Yeah, he's just an angry guy, right? Like Old Testament, beat the shit out of people kind of guy?
Well, he's got powers and stuff, too. But I think that a lot of people who do read Preacher have been saying that the trailer looks like they've taken lots of liberties. Mm-hmm. But none of them seem to be terribly upset about it. Seth Rogen has been trying to get this off the ground for years. And now he's got AMC doing it with him, so he seems to kind of like how Drew Goddard was showrunning, you know, Daredevil. You know, he's real passionate about the project, even though he didn't end up sticking to it. You know, it was his leadership that got it made and got it made so well. I think that's the same thing that's happening here. Is that Seth Rogen has been wanting to make this forever, so I think he's going to do us a good solid. Solid.
Solid.
Solid gold.
Gold, Jerry! Solid gold!
Well, I watched I watched an episode of Seinfeld the other day, and it was that one where George was doing the opposite of everything.
Oh, yeah, and his life's going really well.
Yeah, he had to give him the job with the Yankees. Yeah, and Kramer went on like the Today, or went on Regis and Kathy Lee with about his coffee table book.
Right. And if you don't have a coffee table,
it turns into a coffee table. Yeah.
Anywho.
That's
Randy.
Like exactly the sort of bullshit that like legitimately flies these days. It's so prescient.
Mm-hmm. Good shit.
Yep.
I'd buy it.
For a dollar. List boy. List us.
Listicle.
Well, I have the 10 most shocking deaths in The Walking Dead history ranked. This comes courtesy of Cinema.
Makes it sound so official.
And it was written after last week's episode, after the aftermath of did he or did he not die? And of course, we're referring to Glenn. Hopefully, you listened to last week's episode and you heard us talk about it at length. That's all I'm going to go into there, because this week's episode gave us absolutely no closure whatsoever on that topic. I think they like making us stew about it. So,
read that this week's episode was the first time that Steven Yeun's name did not appear in the credits.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So that might be an indicator right there.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, or it could just be a clever ruse to throw us off the
It
scent.
Could be a clever ruse. He was not in that episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, nobody was in that episode. There was a goat in that episode.
He got top billing.
There were more goats than humans in that episode.
Like The Walking Dead starring goat. And pig. And cricket.
Bubble Boy's dad was in that episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, is that who that guy was?
Yeah.
I knew I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. But
oh, yeah,
think
he's got a million credits to his name.
Yeah.
John Carroll Lynch, I think is his name. He's also in Volcano. If you saw Volcano, he was the guy that's carrying a guy as he's stepping into lava as he's leaving the subway.
Yeah.
Not Joe versus the Volcano, right?
Correct.
No, the good one.
Yeah. The one where Tommy Lee Jones gets angry at a volcano and stops it.
Punches it.
All right, so number 10 on our list, Noah. We remember Noah.
Oh, yeah, he got ripped apart.
Yeah, in a Noah? Goddamn revolving door. Yeah.
Oh, right, Noah.
That was brutal.
That was pretty brutal. At the hands of that piece of shit coward, Nicholas apparently is his name. I see it in the article here. So we can refer to him instead of that cowardly fuck, or whatever we called him last week.
This is great. You guys all stepped right in line.
Number 9, Shane. I think he deserved to die because he was a piece of shit.
Oh, I like Shane.
I didn't like him.
He was a go-getter.
Yeah, a little crazy person. Of a go-getter.
Well, like, I don't think he would have gone crazy if it wasn't Rick. Kind of, he was fucking up his mojo, man. He had a good thing going in the zombie apocalypse, and Rick ruined everything.
Banging his best friend's girl, and
that shit ain't cool.
Yeah, but he was protecting them too.
Yeah,
I don't know. Still. To me, I feel like I don't know. For whatever reason, I feel like he was the one that was acting the most honest to himself. I don't know. I felt like as an audience member, I could relate and empathize for Shane. It was weird.
Yeah, and it was sad because everyone kind of paired off, and he had paired off with, was it Judy or? No, Judy was the baby, Laurie, and you know, then he lost his partner, so he just was trying to find his place in the world. His place just happened to be a place where he killed people.
Yeah,
shit happens.
And he understood what it takes to survive. And then, and Rick didn't feel that way, but now guess what? Rick fucking shoots everybody he sees. He's gone the Shane route. So was Shane really wrong? I don't think so. It just took him a little while to open up.
He was more advanced. He just got there faster than Rick did.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I can see it.
Bunch
from that
of
POV.
Bullshit. Exactly.
Shane's death in the comic is probably. I know you got your list round. Be quick. Shane's death in the comic was pretty cool in that it wasn't as important. But what happened is Rick had killed Shane, and then they found out from the CDC, you know, about the whole, you know, when they die, they come back up. So Rick had to go back and dig him up and kill him again.
Oh wow!
He killed him twice.
I'm glad it did.
Again. Again. And again.
Shane was using brand X.
X.
Number 8 on our list, Dale.
Oh, yeah, he got fucked.
Yeah, disemboweled in a big bad way.
And I don't get that. I don't understand why they're so strong that they can rip you open like that. I don't feel like I could do that to you.
Well, yeah, it looks like they're totally doing some Molaram Kalima shit, just like putting their hands right through their stomach to rip the flesh out without even trying.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Bullshit.
I mean, I can't pretend to know too much about zombies and how strong they are, but it seems like it's lame. They can't push open a fence, but they can rip someone in half. This seems absurd to me. That's some Mortal Kombat shit, and you gotta be strong to rip off arms.
Yeah.
Just ask Jax. He has robot arms.
I don't know, it only takes a pound of pressure to pierce human skin.
Is that it? But what about to stick your whole fist in someone's stomach? Same thing?
I
don't
know. I was just quoting Firefly.
I'm all like, I'm pushing as hard as I can, and I'm not going through it.
That's not a pound, you're like half a pound.
Dang it, I need someone to push my arm. Come over here, Andy.
It's like something that Chuck Norris can do, and no one else.
Okay,
all so these zombies went to the Chuck Norris School of Disembowelment. It's fucked up. Anyway, continue with your list.
Number 7, Carol's daughter, Sophia.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
I'm glad we didn't see it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, her getting beaten?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 6, you'll appreciate this one, Justin. Your favorite, Andrea.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
She got off easy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Number 5, Tyrese. He didn't really get off so easy.
Oh, yeah. He became annoying, though. He did this whole thing where he didn't want to hurt anybody. And
yeah, yeah. He kind of became a liability, so knew his time was limited.
Yeah. Just like Morgan, how he left that guy alone in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Did they not see Saving Private Ryan? You let the guy live, and then he comes back and kills everybody. That's how that shit works.
Exactly.
Idiot.
Number 4, Lizzie. Remember Lizzie?
Oh, yeah, that crazy girl.
Who was all
empathetic. The little girl. The little girl, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was trippy. That girl.
Her sister.
Yeah, she needed to be put down. She was a bad apple.
Number 3, Lori, Rick's wife.
Death from inside.
Yeah. Number 2, Herschel. The thing about that death that really bothered me was it wasn't a clean swipe, so his head didn't come off with the first try. Yeah. And that, to me, just felt like such an indignity.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible.
That was terrible.
And then his zombie head is just laying on the ground, just biting at the air.
Mm-hmm. That's comedy.
Until he gets stabbed. Well, that's kind of comedy. But it's still sad.
It's a fucking indignity.
Yeah, I mean he's a nice old fatherly figure and
or he lost a leg.
He's being disrespected. Yeah. He had some shit, man.
Yeah. He lost a lot. He lost his house, lost his farm, lost his wife.
Now, this one, last one, number 1 is not going to be a big shock to anybody. Beth.
Ugh.
The fucking sucker punch of a death at the end of
the worst.
Of that, what was it, like the mid-season?
Yeah,
the last episode of the mid-season last year or something like that. It was crazy. None of us were expecting it, none of us appreciated it, and it fucking sucked. But that is the number 1 most shocking death on Walking Dead, according to Cinema Blend.
Cinema Blend.
And that doesn't take into account Glenn, because we still don't know his official status.
Where do you rank that in the list?
If he is dead, where would you rank it?
If he is, I would put it top 3.
Yeah, me too. I think I'd put it right
behind Beth.
Right behind Beth, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Beth's death was totally unexpected.
Yeah,
but
it was a slap in the face.
Yeah. But like Glenn was out in the world and being attacked. So whenever they're being attacked, there's always the possibility of dying.
And how? Jinx pinch poke.
Oh,
I want my coke.
Good list, Randy. Good list. Do you guys want to play a game?
Yes.
Oh yeah, let's.
I'll be the shoe.
Okay, Randy will be the thimble, and Amanda will be the car. Because everyone wants to be the car in that game. My list is based around box office disappointment because we've had 2 disappointing box offices in a row. So I have a list of 10 movies that you'd probably be surprised to know were such failures at the box office. Normal rules apply. Just you know the answer, shout it out. I'll give you a point if you're right. If you're wrong, I'll berate you on your ignorance. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Ready, ready.
Number one, as if losing all the awards to Forrest Gump and Pulp Fiction
wasn't
bad enough. Shawshank Redemption. All right, I'm going to give you that, Justin, because you didn't say all of Pulp Fiction. You said
Pulp.
it earned just a hair over half its initial budget in its theatrical release. It's actually IMDb's top-rated film of all time right now. It's actually tied with The Godfather.
I think that's one that AFI is going to eventually dethrone Citizen Kane with Shawshank. I think that'll happen one day.
I bet. I wouldn't be surprised. All right, number two. This perennial holiday classic lost an estimated $525,000 for RKO Pictures in 1946, despite its five Academy nominations.
Oh, Wonderful Life?
It is A Wonderful Life. Good job, Randy. Didn't even need the gimme clue at the end.
You know, I've never seen that.
So wonderful, I guess.
Me neither.
Really? Oh, my God. I remember back in the day they played it like at any given time on three different channels around the holidays.
I know.
It was public domain. You didn't have to pay to show it.
Right, exactly. So RKO let its license slip, so it became public domain, and then NBC picked it up. So NBC, or Universal NBC, airs it every year on NBC.
There were a couple of years where everybody aired it, though. It was crazy.
All right, number three. Justin might be onto something here. This 1982 Ridley Scott science fiction classic.
Alien. Blade Runner!
Blade Runner it is. All right, number four. This film from famed weirdo Terry Gilliam earned just two-thirds of its original budget after Universal refused to release his cut. Must have been their ignorance of South American geography or their taste.
Oh, Brazil.
Brazil it is.
You had me at South American geography.
All right.
I've never even heard of that movie.
It's bad. But people consider it a classic.
Well, Dave's biased because he hates Terry Gilliam.
It's true.
He hates his hat, too.
Wait, he did 12 Monkeys, right?
He did do 12 Monkeys.
Just checking.
All right, Randy got two. Justin got two. Amanda, got to get on the board, all right?
I don't know movies.
This incredibly depressing dystopian sci-fi film from Alfonso Cuarón earned $35 million of its $76 million budget. Poor Clive Owen. Can't catch a break.
Oh, Children of Men!
I don't have a clue who said that. I'm pretty sure you're all getting a point. You all said it at the exact same moment in my ears. Number six. This cinematic masterpiece made the mistake of taking on the press. William Randolph Hearst ordered all of his newspapers and radio stations to abstain from promoting this film that he felt was an unflattering Citizen Kane.
Damn it.
Good job, Randy.
You're going classic on us.
Randy got four. Justin,
I was thinking Orson Welles. God damn it. What's that movie?
This movie made so little money that Paramount didn't renew its rights on the film, and Warner Brothers picked it up for the cheap and licensed it for TV broadcast, where it gained an enormous following and even prompted a reboot from Johnny Depp, who's no Gene Wilder.
Oh, Charlie's Target Factory.
Damn it.
Yeah, Justin. Ties it up 4-4. All right, two left.
That movie sucked.
Which one?
What?
Johnny Depp one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I like Augustus, and that's it.
Yeah. All right, number nine. This film is considered David Fincher's masterpiece, so it's surprising.
Fight Club
it is. Randy took a chance.
I was going to go Alien 3. Did he do Alien 3?
He did, yeah. All right, last question, Randy.
Fuck!
Justin 4. Justin's got to get up here. All right, last question. This technological marvel, for 1939 at least, lost over $1 million for MGM. Luckily,
Gone with the Wind?
Nope.
Metropolis.
Metropolis. Nope.
Luckily, it became insanely profitable.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, but you already answered, Randy.
And all of them? Everybody answered, motherfucker.
All right.
Oh my God.
We all threw one out there, so this is round two of answers.
It was the Wizard of Oz. Good job, Randy.
Good job, indeed. Thanks.
Took it home. You took it to the hole. Randy knows this is his classic cinema.
Those are shitty movies. This is the guy. Come from the guy that's only seen Rocky V. I'm not surprised.
Well, I've seen all the Rockies. It's the only one I saw theatrically.
There you go. It was your $8.
Rocky
5,000.
Our obligatory Spaceballs quote of the day.
Oh, good job, guys. Got all of them.
So you want to hear something exciting that David and I did last weekend?
Yes, each other.
What did we do?
We fucking met Stan Lee.
Ooh.
We did. Touched him.
Yeah. We had a quote-unquote VIP meet and greet, which was pretty much an eight-second photo session with him, but it was pretty cool. We wanted to have him sign our Best of Fest plaque that we won at the Long Beach Comic Con, which is actually one of the prizes from that win was this VIP meet and greet with Stan Lee, but unfortunately his people would not let him sign our plaque or even pose for a picture with us with the plaque, but that's okay. We ended up getting our kamikaze badges signed by him, which was pretty darn awesome.
Because he can't be associated with it or something?
I guess maybe it's a different con, but to be honest... Yeah. I guarantee you Stanley had no idea where he was. He had no idea he was taking pictures with us.
He was probably really fatigued. He had a really long line of people that were doing the autographs, and he came through just like this VIP line and just rapid fire took pictures with all these people. So it was just a super, super quick thing. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel bad for the guy because he's, you know, at this point, it's got to be such a blur, you know, just meeting so many people and just being inundated. It's just, I can imagine at our age now when we're relatively young enough to not be completely fatigued by all that. But by the time you get to his age, having to deal with all of that fandom and all of those tens of thousands of people, it's, I don't know, man, it's got to be overwhelming.
But yeah, I think it's a wrong friend because he wants to do it. I think that's the thing, is that he still wants to do it. And I think that's why it's so taxing.
For sure. And I mean, he still has his wits about him. I mean, he's still sharp, you know. I have no doubt that he knew where he was and what he was doing. He was just like, oh my God, this is going to be a long day, you know.
He's like, oh, who's this big guy over here?
So immediately after our photo op with Stan Lee, we ended up running upstairs to the panel room where we did a very successful panel about social media marketing for indie films and web series with Chris Gore, which is pretty cool. I don't know if we've ever told the story on this podcast before, but we had an interesting run-in with him at Comic-Con a couple years ago. And, did we? San Diego Comic-Con. You did.
We did? Sure.
Yeah. So
right. I ran into him many times after that, and it was water under the bridge.
Right. But it was a very good panel. It was a lot of fun, and we even got a really complimentary tweet from somebody saying that that panel was quite possibly the highlight of Kamikaze for him, and that was pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool. I had a good time. People actually stuck around, asked us questions afterwards. We're like, oh, we're that cool.
Big thanks to everybody that came out. Yeah, if any of our listeners were there in the crowd, we appreciate you. It was good times. Yeah. And
we'll do a panel in San Diego soon. Justin will be here.
That would be amazing.
We'll do a Geek Legacy panel.
And infinitely more difficult. Oh, we should do a live podcast.
All right.
All of like 5 people would show up, but that'd be amazing.
They're always looking for people to do those.
No, seriously. We can talk at length, and especially if you put us all in the same room, I can't guarantee that it's going to stay PG-13, but we'll give you a show, that's for sure. Justin's dick will probably end up at some
There'll
point.
There'll be glass around us, like, and they can mash their boobies on the glass.
I love that. I love seeing boobs pressed against glass. It's my favorite. I mean, I'm weird, but I like it.
It's like,
I want a glass shower and I want to see Sophie's sudsy boobs pressed against the glass. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. It's amazing. Take your breath away. Are we done? Is that the show?
I have a quick shout out. We do have a couple screenings coming up this weekend for Nonstop to Comic Con. We are going to be at the Tucson Comic Con in Arizona, November 8th. That is Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Be sure to check it out. We're also going to be at Rhode Island Comic Con on Saturday, November 7th at 5:30 p.m. And following that, on Monday the 9th, we're going to be playing with the Big House LA Entertainment Festival, 8 p.m. in LA. Check it out. Check out our website for all the specifics. And
the Big House, like a prison?
Yeah, that's pretty much
Johnny Cash
like.
Album.
Yeah,
that's right.
Live from the Big House. And I also want to say thank you to everybody who came out and watched us in Philadelphia. We ended up winning the award for Best Ensemble Cast at First Glance Film Festival. And for anybody that saw us in New Mexico at the Santa Fe Comic-Con, we ended up winning Best Feature at that film festival. So,
damn.
Cool.
You guys are killing it.
Killing it with a stick.
That's right. Like, I beat it.
I get some internet money, like Chocolate Rain style.
Mm-hmm. Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain. Yay! Thank you for listening to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Whilst you're there, check out the other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. Of course, there is the Comic Corner, hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on the pull list. What's hot, what's not. What you should read, why you should read it, and all those things. And you also have the Pixelated Podcast, hosted by Stephen K. Janes. And me, Justin Cavender, then, where we highlight a week's worth of video game news into 60 minutes or less. Always fun and fabulous. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there, at Geek Legacy, at PixelatedPod, and at The Comic Corner. Also, we want to thank Arnell and Stephanie for stopping by with NinjaBot. Remember to check out their Kickstarter for PopCats. It's adorable and it's amazing, and you should send them your money. And you have a lovely week.